Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun this week in sports, or this month in sports sometimes when we don't get together very often. My name is James and I'm here with
Edward Dickey.
Edward Dickey, hello.
How's your weekend going?
It's going, man.
Good.
It's going. Just finished up a little church stuff and getting ready for a little church more stuff tonight.
Nice.
And now I'm talking with you about what's big, sad, and fun in sports.
I went to see John Wick 4 yesterday.
Yes. Tell me real quick.
Well, I did the 4DX movie theater.
Yeah. So what does that involve?
They're like spraying your face. You're getting like poked in the back whenever someone gets shot.
Is it fun?
It's a lot of fun, but it's kind of like a Disneyland ride, but for 3 hours.
Okay.
I kind of just got my butt whooped by a chair for a solid 3 hours. But it was a fun movie.
That sounds like a good date to me. I don't know. Is it a good movie?
Yeah.
I've seen the other three. I want to see this one.
With John Wick, I feel like, and we'll get into sports here in a second.
No, this is good.
I feel like with that movie, all I need story-wise is just enough not to make me feel stupid for watching it.
Yeah, sure.
And it checks that box off, you know?
All right. I heard it's a little long.
It's like 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It is on my list of things to see. I also want to see Creed 3, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, he got in trouble.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that. Actually, a couple of other accusations came out today.
Oh, well.
So, Jonathan Majors.
Hopefully it all ends out well for everybody.
I hope everything goes the way it's supposed to go.
So sports.
So, some kind of tournament happening right now. people have been talking about it, and it has something to do with college kids, and they're playing some kind of hoops and ball. Am I correct?
The NCAA, hoop and ball game.
The old hoop and ball game.
Yeah, the NCAA, man. It's been a great tournament.
It has been. So, right now, we're in the middle of the Elite Eight. Had two of the Elite Eight games last
for,
night.
For clarity's sake, I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, but both of our brackets are completely done.
Oh, mine's the worst. I think mine was done like halfway through the first game.
Once Houston lost, I was like, well, there we go. Because they were like they're my champion, but they're the only Final Four team left. And when they lost, I was like, well, I'm no longer having fun.
Well, you know, all four number ones. None of them made it to the Elite Eight for the first time ever.
Which is wild.
But Houston was my champion, too, and they're gone. In fact, my entire bracket. I don't know that I have any of these teams that are left.
I don't.
I had the worst possible. I mean, like, the worst bracket I've ever put together. And one time I didn't even fill one out, and this one is worse than that.
So, you came up with negative points.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
But, I mean, you know, and obviously part of the fun of the NCAA tournament is, A, the games are great, and there's something really fun about a massive single elimination tournament.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what they've done with making everybody fill out a bracket, like, it makes it just adds a whole nother level to where everybody's kind of paying attention.
It's like fantasy football. The reason why people get engaged with it, right? In our bracket tournament, bracket, what is it? Bracket tournament name? I don't know.
Bracket challenge.
Our bracket challenge name, Sonic Death Monkey.
Named after our trivia group.
Yep. I think I'm in last place. And
I can look this up.
We'll give a shout out. I think Sarah Porterfield.
She was winning last I checked, but she had Alabama.
Oh, no. But everybody had a number one seed winning, I think. Feels like, except for maybe William had Arizona, I think.
So she is still winning. All of us are done. None of us got anybody in the Final Four right.
So she wins.
But she wins.
She wins. So shout out Sarah Porterfield.
I had the thought of next year we're going to do a Big Sad Fun tournament challenge, and the winner will either Zoom you in or
bring you on the podcast,
or you'll come on the podcast to talk about whatever you want.
That's a good idea.
But you know, out of the two teams that are already in it, you know, since we've proved ourselves to be such great bracket analysis.
Yes, absolutely. So we obviously know.
Let's call the rest of it.
Let's go ahead. Why not? FAU won last night in a great game. That was a fantastic game.
I know one person who had them in their Final Four, like as a joke almost. And
are they from there? Do they go to school there?
No, she has no reason to.
Is it one of those things where she thinks owls can beat other mascots?
I was going to have her on and ask her, but she's on a church trip. The confirmation trip.
Well, maybe we'll get her in here next week.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see. Who do we have today playing? Miami versus Texas. Nope. Yes. Miami versus Texas.
Miami, Texas.
Who are you taking?
I guess you got Miami. I got to take the underdogs from now on. I assume Miami's the underdog.
I think I like the whole story with Texas, with they were having the interim coach.
I mean, I'm never going to root for Texas.
Exactly. That's the same thing that would be with me with like if Florida.
That's why
was good.
I was rooting for FAU instead of K-State last night. I'm not going to root for any other Big 12 teams.
And then how about San Diego State, Creighton?
I like San Diego State. I've liked them for many years.
I have too.
As an underdog.
I feel like I always hear about them having an NFL player.
Yeah.
Just like a random one on the roster.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we have
blah, blah, blah.
A random, like every team is like almost required to have one guy from San Diego State.
Blah, blah, blah. He does blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
And he won the Super Bowl for somebody.
Right.
But yeah, so I think I'm going to take Texas, San Diego State.
Okay.
For my two. And are you going to go?
I'm going to go with San Diego State and the other team.
Miami,
yeah. So that'll be my final four. And so, I'm gonna take FAU to win the whole thing.
I honestly am leaning towards that now.
I mean, why
but,
not?
But you know,
they
what was your favorite of the first round or earlier in the tournament upsets?
Well, so I like anytime a 16 beats one.
Yeah,
that's gotta
be.
That's
hard
to beat, right? I mean, that's only happened twice, and you just never expect it, and it came out and it happened. Yeah, it's something to go back and think about, though. Like those first 2 days of the tournament, the first Thursday and Friday, when you have so many games going on, that's like two of my favorite days in sports, right?
It's up there.
Masters Sunday and like opening day for the NFL. Like those are my top three, I think.
Where there's just like there's games on every channel, and you have
it's just amazing.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah,
yeah,
you just kind of immerse yourself.
So it's hard not to say the 16 beating the one. Other than that, man, you know, this has been a crazy tournament in the sense of like,
and like going into it, we all kind of knew it would be
right. But then
because
but
there
actually,
wasn't any like far and away best team.
That's right. Right. Well, it turns out that there's a lot. I mean, just a lot of parity. And I was going to ask you about this because you obviously follow the sport a lot more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think that's attributed to?
So I think what teams are kind of finding out, and at least what I'm kind of finding out, I don't think the era of one and done can win you the tournament exists anymore. I think you have to have some veteran like presence in the group. You, like
somebody
you know,
knows
the,
how to play basketball in a group, in a unit, in a team, in a system.
But like you know, the year of Kentucky with 5 1 and duns, I don't think that is feasible anymore.
I don't think they won. They lost that champion that year, didn't
they?
Yeah, that was with Anthony Davis. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost that championship.
Well, that
so
goes
go.
To show you, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I think you have to have, you can't just build it all one and done.
Is that why you're seeing some of these minor colleges like Creighton and FAU, the ones that are outside the Big Five, that they have, usually they have players that stick around. So if you have like three seniors.
Well, that was why Duke was always so good.
Yeah. So, but if you stick with the system, like you get better and you just know how to play good basketball and you're not leaning on stars. So like with K-State and FAU last night, you know, they're leaning on that kid, Noel, right?
Yeah.
And he was awesome. Like he was awesome, but it got toward the end of the game, you get tired or you just, you can't
lean on
one
guy. Well, and like the young guys, some coach said this, he's like the young guys, whenever in close games, they all get like too into it and get too like emotional almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you have to be able to pull them out and calm them down. But when you pull them out,
you don't have a player.
Yeah, exactly. you don't have. So, but if you've been relying on that star the whole time.
Right.
Which is why, I mean, that's why it's all interesting. Like, cause everybody kind of thought, and it did, you know, when they made the rule where you have to play 1 year of college basketball, it did help the college game. But it's, I think now we're kind of, there's a correction in the market to where you can't just only have that.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Do you think, I mean, a lot of what I hear is that they're probably going to get rid of that. Like, it's just going to be like, hey, if you want to go to the NBA, go.
Now, that's going to be interesting because I think,
I mean, one of the reasons why they got rid of that in the first place is because most kids who go straight to the NBA burn out and aren't good. Like, they're not ready to go.
And by that point, they've lost a scholarship opportunity.
Right,
yeah.
And then they can't go back to college. So, it was for their protection, but if they're just going to leave anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
well, but
at least they get that 1 year of experience. I don't know.
But it's like, if you go for a year and you realize, like, hey, maybe I should stay in college.
Yeah.
Then they can stay in college. Which is, I mean, I don't know.
Well, now you got the D League too, so you got other options.
Yeah, and you can always go overseas.
Play Europe, overseas.
You know, like have you seen any of the videos of Dwight Howard
just
playing
dominating.
In some
just
other?
Dominating.
I mean, he's like Wilt Chamberlain, just dominating.
He's finally
everybody.
Found his niche. He's finally Superman. He finally made it.
Man, I'm sure Shaq is loving it. But yeah, I mean, it's a really fun tournament, but it is interesting that there aren't any of the like regular blue bloods.
Yeah,
like you know, Kentucky's not in it. or not anymore. Duke in at UNC, and
you almost wonder. I'm surprised that Coach K didn't do this. I mean, I suppose.
Well, he's not there anymore.
I know, but but when he was there, I was saying like he didn't do this. Like, I'm almost surprised that there hasn't been some programs out there. Maybe there are that are like, if you're going to come here, you have to commit. Like, we need to have 2 or 3 years from you. And I know that's hard. You can't, like, maybe with an NIL deal, you can, like.
Yeah, and I think you'll see that now.
You can do a contract or something.
But it's also, I think you have to recruit guys based, like, this guy could be a one and done. This guy will be here for 4 years. Like, you know.
So it's almost like you got two tiers of recruiting then.
Yes.
You want to go get the superstar that's going to be there for 1 year.
You want to get the Anthony Edwards.
But then it's the 4-star, 3-star players that are going to be the ones that stick around, right? The 3-stars.
Yeah, like Drew Timmy at whatever school. He's just like a big white guy.
Yeah, whatever you. That's one of my favorite schools.
I can't. For the life of me, it's going to hurt me.
WU, baby, in the house.
It's going to hurt me until I remember.
But that's the other thing. Like with the NIL deals, I hadn't thought about the NIL affecting.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. You forgot.
The big white guy.
Just like Gonzaga forgets about Gonzaga.
Well, I mean, every year they're supposed to win the tournament, and they never do.
They did that 1 year, a couple years ago.
Yeah, okay, once. But every year they're like, well, they can win it.
You know a team that's won the championship multiple times in the last 20 years that I have totally forgotten about and forgot that they won multiple times in the last 20 years is UConn.
they were still a school like at dinner the other night.
I just assumed that they had not done had put a team together, but apparently that's not the case. So.
No,
and they're still in it too. I mean, they blew out blah 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 last night.
Yeah.
So Gonzaga, Gonzaga, they blew out Gonzaga last night.
Yes,
that was a game that I was watching, and it was like it was within 2 or 3 points, and I flipped away to watch a TV show or something. I came back like 30 minutes later, probably about 10 or 15 minutes of game time later, because it was right at halftime, and then I came back. And it was like 70-43, and I was like, "What in the world happened here?"
Yeah, because I was kind of following on my phone while I was doing other things.
Yeah,
and I kind of forgot about it, and I was like, I've watched a lot of basketball. I think I'm good for a little bit, and then it was you text me like, "What happened to this game?" I'm like, "Whoa, what did happen?"
I mean, that's
this got out of hand quick.
So who do we think? I got FAU winning the whole thing.
I'm going to take FAU to win it all too.
All right.
And now obviously the smart money pick is
I think UConn at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, they look really good.
I mean, they knocked out Drew Timmy.
What can you do?
But yeah, FAU's
Gonzaga.
Hot. FAU's hot.
They really are, man. And they just look good. And they're the underdog. 9 seed. Has a 9 seed ever won? What's the lowest seed ever win? Who knows?
Now, that is a great trivia question. Yeah. I wish that I could just.
You guys, if you know it, text us, tweet us, let us know. Tweet us at Big Sad
Fun. I'm only accepting carrier pigeons.
Or carrier pigeon. That'd be fun, too.
I'm downwind.
So another tournament that happened. Let's transition now.
I was hoping that'd be your transition. From tournament to tournament.
Yeah. We're going to go with another tournament. Apparently, they play baseball in other places of the United States.
The WBC.
This is our sad, by the way. For
it's our sad because the U.S. didn't win.
But, man, what a finish.
You know, I don't know. I think if you were to make that movie, like if we were to sit down and write, like, well, let's make up a fictional baseball tournament, and then we'll have we'll end it. We'll end game, you know, the last of the championship.
That's how some people feel about this baseball tournament.
But, you know, we'll end this with, you know, the best pitcher in the world from Japan versus the best hitter in America.
Who are both teammates.
Who are teammates and friends.
But we're going to make the film in Japan.
But, you know, and then, but like, are the notes that we'd get back was this is too unrealistic.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
You can't do this. And yet, here we are.
And, I mean, and you know that Shohei was just putting everything he had into everything.
Edward, this is, I never played baseball. I played a lot of wiffle ball in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played a little softball. Never played baseball. But here's what I can tell you. Like, I remember as a kid, with my bat, whatever, being like bottom of the ninth. Three balls, two counts, two outs, right? You step up to the plate, like, this is your chance. The score is 3-2, you know? Like, that, it was exactly what you just said. This is scripted, man.
Which is,
I mean, what do you do? That's like Major League 4 we just watched.
Basically. But, you know, I do think that a lot of the, and it's all the fans, and we might have talked about this last week, last show, I don't know, I can't remember that far.
It don't matter.
A lot of the fans are the people who, like, got hurt.
Yeah.
They were like, this is a worthless tournament. And it's like, well, no, it's not.
Well, we did lose some big names, including, like, the best closer in baseball.
But he got hurt celebrating.
Right. So, and it's a random thing that could happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, they're going to be playing in spring training.
But the thing is, like, well, and that's the thing, right? Because I think a lot of people would say, yes, it was a random injury, and yes, it could happen anywhere, but the less you play, the less likely it is you're going to get hurt.
Sure.
But you're right, they'd be playing in spring training even if they weren't.
Yeah. And right? And also I think,
but maybe
like,
not celebrating.
That's true. The the players' enjoyment of it is, because the players, I mean, all of them look like they were having more fun.
Yeah.
Then, and like, that's got to count for, like, that's got to count for something.
Well, and that's the thing you see in the Olympics, you see in the World Cup, you see in the world when the basketball players get together and do the same thing. The FIBA, I think it's called.
Yeah. The Federal. Yeah. The world or whatever. Yeah, yeah. World Championship.
So, like, you see, like, when these players, these professional players get to be together and actually compete together mm-hmm. for their country, it's a lot of fun for them to do that. I mean, that means something. That's important.
And the other thing that I really don't think can go without being noted is the ratings.
We're pretty good, right?
97% of TVs in Japan were watching the final.
Well, it's Japan, though. How about the United States? But I mean, I guess it's not just about us. That's the whole point.
But like, those people still have advertisers.
Yeah, that's true.
That, you know, that MLB, because MLB sponsors the whole thing.
You know, I saw Mr. Baseball when I was a kid. Tom Selleck, washed-up baseball player, goes to Japan. That's the first time I ever learned that Japan had baseball, like we have baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, I've seen people like Ichiro, and I've seen, you know, other Matsusawa come over, and I've seen Yu Darvish is another good one.
Shohei Ohtani.
who knew that they had, I mean, they were really good over there.
So it's another thing that I just think is interesting is like, organisms left to their own devices will evolve independently.
Yeah.
Yeah, science fact. You don't get a lot of those out of me.
No, let's go.
But, and you can see how the leagues have
life,
kind of
finds a way.
Yes, basically. So you can see how, like, the style of play has, like, in Japan, it's very much a small ball. It's very much a fundamentals game.
Yeah.
In Mexico, it's very much, and like, watching the Mexico Japan game was an awesome game as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the story about that one player DMing the president of Mexico mm-hmm. on Instagram to see if he can become a citizen to play, or if they could fast track his paperwork. Like, and
I didn't even realize that Mexico had a president. I'm under the assumption that Mexico has no laws. So
they're just running amok down
I'm
there.
Not sure what. I think it's just a gentleman's agreement down there, as far as I can tell. And there's no gentleman down there. But I don't. World knowledge is not my thing.
That game was a lot of fun, but the Mexico, like, you had that outfielder who was Cuban, defected, played in Mexico for a while, and then he's the one who asked the president to become a citizen. But that, you know, home, that robbing of the home run,
yes,
when he then just, like, profiled in the outfield for a while, that was awesome. And then they make a pitcher's change, and he's signing autographs for fans. like that's so cool. Like, that's fun.
I think you're right. Like, the different personalities of the different nations, and the way that they all approached it, I think that's one of the fun things about it. Because you're right. Like, the Japanese, they were so, like, down to fundamentals.
And now you saw a lot of emotion out of them still.
Sure.
And they still look like they're having a good time. But, and also, what I not to jump over what you're saying, but, like, a lot of those young Japanese guys, they're going to be in America soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's that one guy who they call the Japanese Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Shohei Ohtani? Yeah.
No. he's already here. But there's the guy who won them the game against Mexico.
Yeah.
He had 60 home runs last year, which is wild. And then they have that young pitcher who threw like four pitches under 100, and he's 22 years old. Like, that guy's coming. But it's also, there was that one pitcher who struck out like four MLB starters. And then like, some teams just like, yeah, here's a contract. You're like,
yeah, hey, come on, let's go. I mean, and they've been, to be honest, I mean, they, and everyone knows this, but they've been sending talent over here for a long time. I remember when Ichiro got, you might be too young to remember Ichiro when he first got over here.
Oh, when he first got over, yes.
Yeah, he was a beast. And, you know, he's hit the ball more than anybody else has ever hit.
He was
hit
one
the
of
ball.
My favorite players as a kid.
And he just retired just a couple years ago, I think.
He was like 400 years old.
Yeah. And like I said, he's hit the ball more than anyone else has hit the ball, if you count his Japanese stats too.
Which that's got to be hard. Like, how?
Well, and I understand you can't, like, just like counting Canadian Football League stats and Warren Moon's the greatest quarterback of all time, right? But still, like, he was just a lot of fun. And the pitchers, like, it's just, I'm glad. Look,
and one of my favorite players, Minoru Suzuki, came from Japan, and he would give the best post-game interviews.
Yeah.
Just because he was a goofball. But yeah, no, sorry, I cut you off.
No. I was going to say, I'm happy for Japan, and well done, well played. But it's still sad that we lost.
I think,
of course, if we had had our full pitching staff and things like that. Like,
none of our guys wanted to pitch. And I think a lot of the teams didn't want them pitching. And that's like, I think after we lost to Mexico, I think Mark DeRosa, our manager, like called the teams like, hey, look, we can't. Yeah. I cannot be hamstringed.
Because we almost got out early.
Yeah. Well, because like the rule that the teams made was like, if a guy warms up, he has to come into the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so like we would be in blowouts and also they didn't want the relief pitchers pitching more than like two innings or something like that.
Yeah.
So we had to burn a lot of good pitchers early, like in blowouts. And DeRosa was like, I can't be hamstringed by y'all.
I can definitely understand the concern. Mm-hmm. And we saw it, you know, we saw some of the effects of that. But maybe next year, next time, 2026, we'll roll out an actual pitching staff.
And I love what Mookie Betts said. He was like, you know, this is a whole lot better than taking four ABs on some backfield somewhere. Yeah. Like, this is a lot more fun.
Yeah. Mookie.
It was a lot of fun to watch. I watched a lot of the games just because I like baseball.
It's baseball season, man. It's coming.
Also, I like that there wasn't a pitch count or that there wasn't a pitch clock
I am so interested. We could throw that into the sad here because I'm so interested to see how that's
going to work out.
We did talk about it last time, but the baseball season starts in just like 4 or 5 days, and I'm pumped. It starts on Thursday.
You know,
let's go.
The raw stats here about the pitch clock is that it shortened the game by 22 minutes.
That's 22 minutes. You don't have to sit
and
stand.
So one last ad, and you will save a lot more time than that.
Again, I don't have a problem with baseball being long, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody...
But they're not aiming for us. They're aiming for that little girl that's sitting over there on my couch so that she can go to a baseball game.
She's not going to watch regardless.
She might. She's been to baseball games.
Yeah, she had probably a good time.
Talking about my daughter, Kyra, who's in the studio with us today.
She's watching home.
She's watching baseball right now. That's not true.
I'm pretty sure that's home.
She's watching preseason baseball right now.
checking out long
jangles.
Let's
talk about something she does watch and something that's really fun, which is a sport that has no tournament happening right now unless you count the offseason as the tournament. We're talking about the NFL, and we're talking about offseason moves.
One quick thing, piggybacking on our last thing into this. I found out the other day that Japan plays football. So we're going to be talking about NFL free agency.
Japan plays football.
They have a football league.
That sounds like a Nike commercial. Japan plays football.
Japan plays football?
Japan plays football.
But they played the, maybe a couple years ago, they played the All-Stars of the Ivy League.
Okay.
Which is to tell you roughly about the skill level.
Is that their equivalent? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was 22 to 24. I was all right. You know, but if you get some of those sumo
wrestlers.
Yeah,
Brendan Fraser out there, because he played for what, Yale or Harvard in that ties movie?
Oh, I thought you meant actually. I was like, wait, really? But, you know, if you get some of the sumo guys playing offensive line, I'm just saying.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
No, but I was just thinking about that with the internationalization of American sports. So your Cowboys have been pretty active.
I got to tell you, man, and look. You know me. I am a very...
We've met before.
I am a level-headed Cowboys fan. Most of us are not. I understand
that. You're more than most of them, yeah.
And I am, like everybody else, I am prone to get caught up in the off-season promotion of the Dallas Cowboys. And by the time the season rolls around, they're going to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I understand that, like everybody, every year.
I mean, but like that's fun.
It is fun. But here's what I can say. This off-season has markedly been better than any other off-season probably in the last 25 years. And I'll say that because we went out and got, we hardly ever jump into the big free agent pool. We went out and made two huge trades, got Stephon Gilmore.
I was trying to remember who y'all got.
And we got Brandon Cooks on our team.
Ooh.
And that's going to be
a team.
that's amazing. And then we re-signed people. We re-signed our Javon Kirsch, our safety, who's leading tackler last year. We re-signed Leighton Andervesh.
You let go of Zeke.
We did cut Zeke, and I think that was a good move. We should have cut him 2 years ago.
Sadly, I think so, too. It's tough out here for running backs, man.
Now, I don't know. The rumors are that he's looking at either the Eagles, or the Bengals, or there's another team that's in the mix. I can't remember. I hope he ends up with the Bengals. That would be good for him. He played with Joe Burrow at Ohio State before Joe Burrow moved down to LSU.
Jesus. So, Joe Burrow is old.
Yeah, well, Zeke's old, too.
But, like, Joe Burrow, like, he's only been in the league 3 years.
I know. I know, that's right. So I hope he ends up with the Bengals. If he goes to the Eagles, I mean, good luck with him because he's done. I think he's done. But
he's going to need a lot of rehab.
He's going to need some sleeping, some napping.
He's not even that injured, surgery. But there's
it's just the treads.
Running back, you take so much damage.
We ran him into the ground.
And that's a lot of it is, I think, because of your struggles at quarterback.
We also brought in, is it Rondell or Rondy Jones? Running back.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've just made a lot of great moves to shore up places where we needed help.
It feels like y'all are more in win now mode.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to maybe make the playoffs now mode.
What we did, and we'll have a big special when the draft time comes around here in about a month, but we did is we filled all the holes that we have to have filled so we can go in the draft and get the best players available.
Yeah.
We don't have to fill a position in the draft, and that's a good place to be in.
Now, if we're going to peek ahead, what do you want to, like, what position do you want to draft?
So I think if we stay where we are, or if we
where are y'all?
We're about 26.
Yeah, I was gonna say mid-20s.
If we move up and don't get into the top 15, then I'm happy with us taking that running back out of Texas. I think there's
if he's there,
right? So if we move up to like 16 and take him 16th, the reason why I say that is because you can lock him up for 5 years and then he's done, and then we're done with him, right? Can we move on?
Well, and hopefully y'all won't run him into the ground like you did.
Right,
Zeke.
Hopefully not. So he's the only running back that I think would be worth taking in the first round, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What I've done, and I wouldn't take him above 15. Like he's not worth. I don't think any running back is now.
It's hard to draft one.
So if we can figure out a way to get him without moving up beyond 15, then I'm happy with that. Other than that, any of the tight ends coming out that look really good. Even another wide receiver. I mean,
you want the boy from Georgia, Washington?
Oh, we could take him. Yeah, absolutely. I would be.
You know, he's the one who's like 6'8" and.
He's played basketball. Is he one of those that play basketball?
No, but he's like 6'8", like 265. I probably don't know his measurements correct, but runs like a deer.
Yeah.
He looks like a creative player.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Oh, yeah. I'm happy with them taking whoever. I would even take an offensive lineman. Take whoever's the best available at the position. I do think we need a running back. I think that's something we can get in the second or third round.
I still think Stetson to the Cowboys is the perfect. Not in the first.
But let's talk about him for just a second, because he's impressed some people with his combine and his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some people moving him up maybe into the fourth round. Have you heard this? Mm-mm. What do you think about that?
You know, he is a guy who at every level has kind of proved that the fact that he's not the biggest guy doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And also, but I think the fact that he is the same size as the Alabama quarterback, his name.
Yeah, he's the same size as I am, except for his muscle.
Yeah,
I mean that's it. That's what is going on.
But he's
athletic. I mean, he's got he's smart.
Yes, and like.
Punchable face. Maybe the most punchable face in the history of sports.
He seems to always win, which shouldn't count for much, but should count for
count for something.
I don't think you can take him in the first, obviously.
No, yeah, obviously.
But I think fourth round, take a flyer on him.
I think
that is a steal in the fourth.
I think that he's worth having. He has career backup written all over him, but somebody who's also a coach in the game, right?
Yes, yes.
Dallas just re-signed Cooper Rush, so I don't think we're going to be in the market for him. But, you know, we'll see.
I mean, you know, maybe we get rid of Cooper and we bring in Stetson, you know? But I think having him come out in a Stetson would be... Maybe he'll go to the Texans.
Well, they need a quarterback, so they could draft him.
They could get another Georgia boy.
Yep. All that to say, the free agency, the offseason for the Cowboys have been great. Have you been following the Falcons?
I have. This is the first year that we've had cap space.
Yeah, and you have a lot of it, right?
Yes, and we're able
to... You're finally done paying for Julio and Matt?
Yes, for the most part. But we're finally able to shop in the nicer aisles. You know, we can go to Whole Foods.
Kmart and head over to Target.
We can leave Aldi's and we can head over to
Whole Foods.
To Whole Foods.
Wow, you guys, not Fresh Market, but Whole Foods. You're not going to Sprouts or anything. I mean,
who would go to Sprouts? I mean, in this economy. I pulled it up just to try and remember, and of course now. But we got the safety who was like one of the top.
Yes.
And his name, of course, is going to slip me now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know what you're talking
about. It's like one of the few times where it's the last time that there was a top free agent at a position that we need, and we went and got him. It was Alex Mack.
Yep. And you guys won the Super Bowl that year.
And we went to the Super Bowl. Yep. And I think sometimes we have to spend and go get.
Right.
A good piece.
And if you can get a good piece and you feel like you're just a couple steps away.
Yes.
Right? Because you guys are in a position to win your division next year.
Very much so. And it...
Because you got the Riddler. You got the Riddler coming back.
And now... But also, I loved the backup. Heineke?
You got Heineke, yes. That's just solid. You know.
And, you know, obviously there's all sorts of jokes you make about him because he hasn't been great.
Right.
But he's won games in the NFL.
He's won games. He's played 20... He's had 25 starts, something like that in the NFL.
And he won games with the... With Washington,
yeah,
which is not an easy place to win games,
and it's unholy. And so he's done the unrighteous thing. Now he's ready to cleanse himself
and
of his sins.
He's coming back home. He's coming back to Georgia.
Coming home,
exactly.
Coming home. So let me ask you this though, and we talked about this I think last time, but I want to reopen this can of worms just for a minute as we talk.
Let's
about
open that can of worms.
Lamar Jackson, why? Why are you not even entertaining the idea?
And, you know, I think we definitely would if I want to call him Riddler now, too.
He is the Riddler.
If Ritter didn't look so good in the last game.
So you think, okay. I think four games is what he played.
And I think he struggled game one, but he progressively looked better.
Okay.
And I just...
They must see something.
And I don't think that you can justify the money and the picks, because you'd have to trade for them.
Yeah, you'd have to give up at least two first rounds.
And I don't know, and I can't speak for every other team. I'm not a fan of them.
Yeah.
But I think for the Falcons, it's when you have something young and cheap,
yeah,
it is, and you are developing him, it's hard to justify, let's mortgage our future on a guy whose contract is up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could re-sign him, sure, but...
That makes sense. I understand.
It's hard to justify that.
Different route. Now, if you thought you were one piece away, maybe that's what it is. Because if you were just a quarterback away.
Yes. And you really didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Your plan was not great at quarterback.
If it had been just like last year, this is why you guys were in the Deshaun Watson situation,
yes.
Right? Because you guys didn't have a quarterback. Well, you did, but you were like, we don't want him anymore.
Apparently.
And it turns out maybe the best decision you guys ever made, because it turns out maybe he's washed. I don't know. But
I don't necessarily think so. I think he had a god-awful offensive line.
I will tell you right now, Matt Ryan, if you're listening to this podcast, and I know that you
might be. We have asked him to several
times. Please, please, please come to Dallas. And play for the league minimum.
Crush
in
Dallas.
I mean, if you can just if Dak gets hurt, or if you can just outplay him in practice or something, I think we would win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. I've been saying
he would crush there. And I thought he would in
With Colts too, but their offensive line.
But I mean, and I love that when they like put in the backup, and it was like, oh no, he's getting sacked as much as Matt. Like this is clearly just.
I hope he plays again.
A Swiss cheese of an offensive line.
I'd hate to see that be hit the way he goes.
You know where I want for him to go is San Francisco.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Shanahan again, huh?
Yeah, let's go back to Kyle Shanahan.
That would be interesting.
And, you know, let's get him out of the cold. Let's get him into some sunshine.
That would be interesting. I like that idea a lot, actually.
That's what I would do if I was him. And I don't know what his contract situation is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would go take and Matt Ryan has renegotiated enough to where I don't think that he's after a lot of money.
He doesn't need money, yeah. He just wants to win. He wants to win all four quarters of a Super Bowl. Hey, I will say this.
He wants to be around a team that can win, you know, like
one last thought on Lamar Jackson real quick.
Yeah sorry, we got off topic
on my way into work this morning. I was listening to the radio and somebody suggested that that there's a possibility that Dan Snyder, like on his way out the door, because one of the reasons why this Lamar thing's not happening for anybody is because none of the coaches none of the teams want to actually give the guaranteed contract like Watson got last year.
And I think that is the other.
But then Dan Snyder, on his way out the door as he sells the team, right before he does, signs him to like a $300 million fully guaranteed contract and just kind of screws over the commies on his way out the door.
God. God, that would be such a Dan Snyder move.
I mean, I would for that one move alone, I'd be like, thank you, Dan Snyder. Thank you. It was worth it.
And I think the Deshaun Watson deal is clearly a part of all this.
Oh, it's insane. Because that make, what, $50 million this year? Is that what it is?
Something ridiculous. But like that alone restructures the market to a place where no one wants to go.
I mean, it's...
And it's going to screw over a lot of quarterbacks.
It's so bad, in fact. It's going to screw over quarterbacks, screw over teams. But it's so bad that they're talking about having a separate salary cap just for quarterbacks.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, because they're so... They are so important in the game, but they're also like...
But like when we bumped up the salary cap, only thing it did was it just made the quarterback salary higher. Like,
and
the percentage,
nobody else is getting paid like that.
Which, and I mean, I guess, you know, it's tough because it's like you need one.
Yeah.
And no, they really don't grow on trees.
And but they don't. Although, I mean, they don't belong. I mean, like.
Cam Newton said that 32 MF is better than me. He said it.
All right. Well, Cam, we'll take you in Dallas too, man. Come on, let's go.
You know, I think.
I'm on the anyone but Dak campaign.
I think the thing about Cam is that he's not willing to be a backup.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's can do it, but I digress.
Well, Cam, you can be a backup for us, and you can come on this show anytime.
He's another Georgia boy.
You could be a starter on the show if you want to be. Man, we will get a third mic.
We will change this to the Cam Newton podcast.
Yeah, we will call it Cam Newton.
I'm not even a fan of his, and I would be all in on that.
All right, Edward. Well, thank you, man, for joining
me
today. And, guys, we hope to see you next week.
We're going to get back regular.
Let's go, Owls. Woo, woo.